always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And I know that I sound like I'm standing for LeBron. And in reality, what it is I'm standing for LeBron in comparison to Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, and the Rambot. Like, this isn't, it's not that I am some LeBron super fan. It's that I don't trust those people. And so, like, what those people got so annoyed with LeBron about was his incessant, in their eyes, asking for a better team around him while he was still extending his prime on their behalf. And they got so sick of those requests to make the team better, to continue to provide him ample opportunity to win a championship while he is holding off father time in ways that we have never seen across all of sports, basically. And that is what made them arrive at this summer and be like, you see this diva over here? We were totally right to get rid of that guy. And I'm sorry, that's just objectively wrong from a human being management standpoint, from a basketball standpoint. I just don't agree with the Lakers making a conscious decision dating back to basically when Luka got there to eventually tell LeBron James, while he's still really good at basketball, go away. Like, that's the part of this that I just will never fully wrap my head around.
Yeah. And you know, I do want to address, like, can you pull up Liquid Pulse's comment for a second? I hear this as well, that you know, it's like most reports have LeBron telling the Lakers to fuck off, or at least blocking them since the end of the season. And, like, you know, to me, with all due respect to the reporting that was out there, the writing on the wall all year has been like the Lakers are waiting for LeBron to leave. You know, it was basically in their presentation to Luka, hey, when LeBron is off the books, we're going to have all this cap space to go. Like, their plan has been like LeBron is going to go. And so to me, all that reporting of, like, you know, LeBron knows when he's not wanted and da, 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 it's like, yeah, that's true. But it's also LeBron framing it this as like this was his decision and he is leaving the Lakers, and you know, and not the Lakers sort of jilting him at the altar.
Well,
because
also,
let's be real, like, if the Lakers, he wanted an extension last summer. If the Lakers would have extended him, he'd still be a Laker. He didn't want to leave. He wanted the extension. And I know that he's going to take a lot less than that now. But the idea that he just, like, doesn't want to be in LA anymore because of reasons like that, that just doesn't logically follow to me. And I think if the Lakers would have managed this relationship better, instead of at every single point sitting around and just being like, oh, this guy's so annoying, he wants us to make the team good, like, doesn't he understand that we need those draft picks for, like, when we're rebuilding? And he's not gonna be here. That, like, how can he be so incourteous to me, Jeannie Buss, and, like, what I want? And it's just like, you know, it's the way that the relationship was managed was bad on really, I think, mostly the Lakers' end to me.
Well, the reason it was bad on the Lakers' end more so than LeBron's end is because it's the Lakers' job to maintain that relationship.
Well, and you know, it's also, like, the Lakers' job. Again, they're mad at him and, quote unquote, like, ruining the relationship for something he asked them to do. It's your job to tell him no if you think he has a bad idea. And this is the thing that we always go back to with the Russ trade, where they're like, they shanked him for it, they blamed him for it, and then they tried to punish him for it. When it's like, you have a whole GM that's job is to make these pro personnel decisions and not just be like, yeah, LeBron, whatever you want.
Well, this is exactly the point to make here, right? Chris Bunce is saying, so Bron was too pushy to improve the team, and now they're doing everything Luka wants, right? Like, did you see the reports recently that they're apparently interested in Daniel Gafford? You know, and it's like, and it's, you know, and by the way, Quentin Grimes, former Luka teammate.
And hey, if I'm Luka, watch out that, you know, about these suggestions that I'm making, because we know what's going to happen if you make a suggestion that backfires.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think this is a really good question here from West Coast Made, H-Town Raised, who asks, Anthony, had we removed Robin Coe and then the new regime made the decision to move on from LeBron, would you feel the same? It would kind of depend on who they hired, right? Like, Like if it's
and what other Presti, moves they made.
Yeah. Right. It, like if the new regime didn't have me sitting here waiting for Jonathan Kuminga, then yeah, I'd probably feel better about the Lakers like moving on from LeBron James. Also, if it was Sam Presti who basically looked at the situation and was like, this game is based on youth and it's, you know, based on athleticism and versatility. And I just don't know that I'm necessarily, you know, getting that from LeBron at 42, 43 years old, let alone the fact that like this guy is still talking about playing next year too. Like at what point do we kind of have to move on from LeBron's desire to continue playing beyond a time that he can be a championship level player playing the number of minutes that he wants to play? Like if it was framed that way by a more capable front office, a more capable group of people than Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, yeah, and the Rambai, then absolutely. By the way, like this same group of people, part of the reason that I don't believe in them, Harrison, is the fact that like they promised everybody another assistant GM, and we're still waiting for that assistant GM. And by the way, like this flew way under the radar, but Dan Wojcicki actually had a tidbit on it the other day. How he said the people who interviewed for that gig were left wondering what the hell is going on, you know? And so, by the way, like I've heard way worse stuff about the Lakers search to fill out these front office positions where they're still lowballing people, apparently saying like, they're still rolling with the, it's an honor to work for the Lakers approach to hiring people. And I'm sorry, man. Like it does play a role.
Is that Rob trying to consolidate his power? He's like making intentionally bad offers so that nobody wants to come join him. And then he's like, well, we have to keep the front office small.
I had somebody who told me when it was announced, when Rob Pelinka said that they were going to hire those two assistant GMs and they were going to build out the front office and that they were going to really invest in building all of this out and Dodgerfy the Lakers, basically. I had somebody who worked very, very closely with Rob Pelinka and very, very closely with Jeannie Buss say, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
And like, were they wrong? You know, like, and so yeah. Look, LeBron's going to make his decision whenever LeBron makes his decision. And at the end of the day, what the Lakers do on the basketball court this year is going to go a lot further in proving this decision correct or incorrect. You know, and we'll know once we get to the playoffs and once we see what this team is capable of and, you know, what theoretical power forward X looks like whenever that player actually is a Laker. But like that's at the end of the day, like my job and our job in analyzing this team and talking about them on this podcast or writing about them, whatever, is to outline for people what could have been done to either what was done or what could have been done to put the best basketball product on the court for you to watch. And one of those things that could have been done over the last couple of years, hell, even over the last 5 years or so, was don't have an actively detrimental relationship with your superstar before he's actually retiring or bad at basketball anymore. It's one thing if like that relationship sours or that erosion takes place between the Lakers and LeBron or the Lakers and Clutch or whatever. And LeBron, his game erodes at a similar pace and to a similar degree. And by the time that it is time for everybody to, as they did this summer, just kind of step away from each other, it's one thing for that to happen and then to not lose a still really good basketball player for nothing, right? Who is still going to continue playing if he had, and I think honestly what the Lakers had planned on was that they thought he was going to retire when we got to the summer. They thought he was going to be done. They didn't think that it, as evidenced by their lack of investment into him and Anthony Davis, they did not believe that LeBron James would still be good at basketball. And he is. And the fact that they gambled on that and placed their wager on Father Time, and then arrived here at a place where they're like, shit, damn, we still need a power forward. Sure would be nice to sign that one at the minimum. Like they limited the market at a time where they don't have very many other better alternatives. And that's where I think this was a very short-sighted approach to this offseason with this specific regard. Let's talk about other things that could be done here to bolster the roster, or things that the Lakers are thinking about doing to bolster the roster. And I think it's really interesting that they're looking at more bigs. This is something that I have wanted. Like Kevon Looney is fine as a signing if you're basically looking at him as like a Udonis Haslam or a Kevin Love, somebody who like plays spot minutes but is mostly there to kind of be a veteran mentor and keep the locker room good. Kevon Looney, by all accounts, is one of the most respected veterans in the league. So
I was going to say, I thought that was the Looney job.
That's what I said. What did I say?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like if Looney is your like fourth big who basically never plays and his job is just to keep the locker room good, then Looney is the perfect big to bring in into that role. If he is a backup big and he's going to be playing 10, 15 minutes a night, you know, a stint or two a night, then that's where I start to get a little worried. I think he's washed. And so the notion that the Lakers are looking for other bigs on the market makes a lot of sense. Like go out and try to find a high ceiling, maybe longer term project type big. Nick Richards comes to mind. And see if you can develop that player and kind of do what you did with Jackson Hayes, where they bought really, really low on Hayes, developed him, and you know, he played himself out of the veteran minimum squalor that a lot of guys really struggle to get out of. So what do you think of the backdrop to all this is that they already have too many guaranteed contracts on their books. So another move would have to come before they do any of this. And that makes the framing kind of interesting. But yeah, what do you think of kind of a higher upside, longer term project big to kind of actually provide minutes that Kevon Looney, I don't think really can at this stage of his career.
Yeah. And we've also seen, you know, to the Looney point that, you know, over the course of the regular season now, you know, and really this is a little bit of a point to the Lakers, you know, and all their talk about like, it's a young man's game. Like we want to have a younger team. It's like the regular season is tough for older players now because of like, you know, the constant pace of play and the way defense is played now. You know, Looney, even as the third string guy, it's like there are going to be nights where he has to play. Like Walker Kessler is not going to play 82 games this year. Mamu's not going to play 82 games this year. Like as of right now, there will be nights where Looney has to play.
A lot.
Just because no one plays 82 games anymore, hardly. It was like he was a huge deal when Austin did like 2 years ago, but Austin played all 82 games. And I think
they're looking at Jake LaRavia like some kind of modern Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
they're like, how did you do it?
He's like, well, I never leave the ground. That's my key. But guys, just they don't play 82 games. Like they're gonna miss time. I'm not saying I'm not wishing for injury or whatever. But they're gonna miss time, and so it would be nice to have another option just in case Looney really is physically done. Because I just don't know. I mean, the Lakers would have a better sense of it than we do, obviously, having signed him and probably talked to his team about the medicals and looked at his medicals and those sorts of things. But yeah, I just have a hard time buying that he's gonna be able to play a whole lot very effectively this season based on like his past couple years and all of the history of surgeries and everything that he's had and how small he is, you know, as a big man. And so I would love, you know, like an athletic project or whatever, but it does sort of bring up the roster question that you mentioned of, you know, where are you finding room for this guy? And, you know, is that like, you know, do they just mean that they're going to like, you know, end up flipping one of their two ways or something like that to bring in a guy like that they try to take on as a project? Because, you know, unless you have like a Dalton Connect salary dump or buyout lined up, you know, it's just like, I don't know where you're getting the roster room.
The other thing that kind of crossed my mind is something that the Lakers could do is kind of like what they did with Christian Coloco, where he was kind of like a de facto fourth big there the season that he played well for them. They have, like, right now their two ways are Chris Mannion and Arthur Kaluma, and then their third two way is Okereke, which I just butchered his name, so apologies. But like, I think eventually what you could see is that third two way get waived, and then they bring in a big who is more athletic, runs the floor, stuff like that. I think they had somebody on an exhibit 10 at one point or something like that. The big from Syracuse, who, you know, is kind of interesting. And there's some younger bigs out there who would fit in as a two-way guy. My concern there, though, again, is that, like, you know, if to go from a possible backup like DeAndre Ayton, had he accepted that role, to maybe Kevon Looney isn't washed, and like maybe we'll get somebody on the two-way that like it's just, you know, that and behind somebody in Walker Kessler, who, shenanigans or not, hasn't been able to stay on the court. So that's something that, like, it's interesting in that it indicates that, like, as we've been talking about anyway, more moves are coming. They have to make at least one more move, even if that move is just waving Dalton or something. But they also are looking to, I think, open up more roster spots than that and potentially land. Like, I don't really fully believe the Gafford link. They expended so much capital to get Walker Kessler. I don't see Rob Pelinka, who doesn't really value those center position, to use even more capital to go out and get Gafford on his contract.
But it's interesting, though, nonetheless. Luka values the center position, and if there's one thing we know about Rob, he's going to do what his star wants until it doesn't work out, and then he's going to blame the star for it. So
bring us full circle. We did get a couple of super comments here over the course of the show, and I wanted to address this one really quick too before we get to the supers. Jay Cooper, 97.95. You're fine with Rich Paul slandering Austin all the time. I literally started this show saying how much I hated that podcast.
Also, if LeBron's on the minimum, I'm actually fine with it. I think. Austin, you're making max contract. You can deal with the podcaster. It's okay. You're going to be fine.
Look, one thing we learned last year is that Austin's camp can take care of themselves when you when Reggie stepped to Rich.
I'm just saying, like, Austin's a big boy. He can handle Rich Paul talking about him on his podcast. I think he'll be okay.
Also, like, Austin won. Talk away, Rich. Yeah. Talk away. Yeah. <Let's see. laughs> Like, I want to know, like, what other topics are okay for Rich Paul to talk about while LeBron's on the minimum.
Rich Paul's like, moving into geopolitics. And it's like, well, LeBron on the minimum Max still is a goes, really good deal.
Oh man, that's a fun game to play. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in.
If you ever start a Patreon, that's a Patreon episode. What are we okay with Rich Paul talking about if LeBron's on the minimum?
All right. Let's see. Let's dive into, well, first we have to play the most important sound on the show. And we will go up here to, okay, Jazz Singh, who writes, tired of waiting on Jonathan Kardashian, need PJ. Look, the Lakers would love to acquire PJ Washington. Like, I know it's out there that they're a little iffy about the contract. I was kind of
I got some pushback on that, and was told, like, it doesn't matter how we feel about the contract. We don't have enough to trade for PJ Washington. You know, they have 2 second rounders and a pick swap and some fairly to not at all desirable young players. And that's just not enough to get you Washington. I think eventually
who's the
whenever
fairly
he
desirable
is
desirable young player.
What's that?
Who's the fairly desirable young, I guess.
Well, like Cam Carr. Like Cam Carr and Dero.
Yeah, actually, I keep forgetting that. Yeah, Cam Carr's on the team now. That's not a summer league guy. That's a real guy on the roster. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. They do. Yeah. Never mind. That's a point taken.
And then like the not at all desirable is Dalton. So
yeah,
but like the
that
like,
without saying you didn't have to you didn't have to specify.
You know, I was thinking about that this morning while I was kind of setting up the show, like as part of this whole like LeBron conversation and, you know, kind of talking about the way that the Lakers front office hasn't been put together right, is that like had the Lakers had a bigger, i.e. any scouting department, you know, or a scouting department that, because I think at that point there was kind of factioned off between Rob's people and like the Bus Bros people. And if there was a scouting department that I think was kind of more on the same page, like one of the problems or one of the reasons that the Lakers drafted Connect was because they never interviewed him like one-on-one. And I truly believe that had they interviewed him one-on-one, because they didn't think he was going to fall to them, right? He was slated to go a lot higher. And I think if they would have interviewed Dalton one-on-one and noticed that he isn't the brightest bulb in the box, that like I don't know that they would have drafted him. And this is all kind of part of this same front office that, again, like as you know, the listener asked earlier in the show, would I be more okay with a different front office telling LeBron to go away? Like, yeah, like if it was a front office that I respected more than this one that drafted Dalton Connect, that drafted Jalen Hood-Schifino, that traded for Russell Westbrook, that told Alex Caruso to go away, that lost Jordan Goodwin for nothing, that now lost LeBron James and Marcus Smart for nothing. Like that is that, like, I am more iffy about the decisions that they make. And I look forward to the day, Harrison, hopefully someday, that like they do employ a front office that I respect more. We'll just see.
You should actually start
happens.
Specifying that in your reports, whether you're like a front office source who I don't respect told me that you should specify whether or not you respect your source.
Yeah. All right. Well, that would go well.
A non-respected front office source.
It would be funny if people started doing that with league sources, right?
A league source who I leave anonymous because they are an idiot. A league source who I granted anonymity because I don't want to ruin their career by attaching this take to their name, said.
Right. Yes. Those like anonymous scouts who say the dumbest stuff. Like, it's anonymous scout who might not be a scout for much longer after.
An anonymous scout who I heard is actually next on the layoff list said that Kuminga might be better than LeBron in 2026.
Whose agent who might have one fewer client pretty soon.
All right. A front office source who I hate.
Oh, man. That's just anybody who talks to Danny Ainge. All right. BG the Kid writes, imagine adding Kuminga, Braun, and Fagan to this team. I did get out and play yesterday, Harrison. Like, I not play, but I shot a basketball and I'm a little nervous about how tight my Achilles are. Like, I walked away from that in the moment thinking, like, man, that'd be fun. Maybe I'll go out and buy some basketball shoes. I'll play a little pickup here and there. And then I woke up today and my Achilles tendons, both of them, are really, really tight. And I think that might be like the basketball gods and my body telling me, like,
I think you gotta
just stick to shooting around.
You got to start the Dear Basketball letter, I think. just have it drafted.
How did you write yours? It was like
17 years ago, so I don't remember.
Yeah, it felt really good.
When did I retire from basketball? I think it was about 15 years ago when I was like, I can no longer play pickup. This is not good for me.
I felt like it is legitimately like centering to go out there and just shoot free throws. Like, I love shooting free throws. And I love shooting three pointers and just like seeing the ball go through the net and seeing like getting like the proper backspin on my shot again was nice to see. And I was like, man, this feels really good. And then this morning I was like, oof, this feels less good.
I have a friend who he actually met his father-in-law and then later his wife playing pickup at an LA Fitness. His father-in-law still plays. He's like in his, I think like 60s, but you know, he's just three point line. He calls for help.
Yeah.
If somebody drives on him, it's like, hey, help. So that could be you.
There was a guy that,
my friend is 6'7", so there's like a not impossible chance that he like set him up with his daughter so that he could have like a pickup running mate that could cover for him on defense.
That's just smart. That's just good roster management, honestly. Yeah. Like,
it's like me and my son-in-law, we got next.
All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Anything, Harrison, that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I do want to plug the Rich Paul podcast.